Always fun.
Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
You know what's painful, Patrick Royce?
What's that, sir?
When the local baseball team is 9-for-72 with runners in scoring position.
Is that what it is for this season?
125. In the losses, in their four defeats, they are 0-for-34.
Oh, because they're 0-for-23 at home.
Yep.
At home. And by coincidence, I was going to lead with that because I was in the car this morning listening to the MLB Network, seeing if I missed anything.
Yep.
And they were babbling, as they do. And they were talking about Spencer Steer, the right-handed hitting guy who can play all over the field, who the Twins traded along with that Encarnacion Strand for Tyler Mahle, who made five starts 1 year and, three the next or something, and then it was gone. But they were saying how all the stats have him hitting the ball harder at this point through nine games than anyone in the major leagues. His, yes. So then I had to look, and here's the stats, the pure old time stats, you know, through nine games, 406, three home runs and 12 RBIs. But that trade is forgotten for how awful it was.
Yeah.
Because he did not, they really gave up. Now then, our Encarnacion Strand is hit 150 or something, and he has no position. He, you know, they play him at third and close their eyes and play Steer there, and then they DH him some. They gave up two good prospects, and especially Steer.
Yep.
A right-handed hitter who can play all over the diamond. We wouldn't have to watch Eddie take third strikes against lefties, at least, if you had a guy like this. So if you had a guy like this, you wouldn't be in a panic about not having Royce Lewis either. So I would say they.
You went Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw your column.
I still haven't seen him get a clutch hit.
Nope.
In person this season. If they didn't pop up and get those four runs in the eighth inning in Milwaukee.
Yep.
This would be an incredible start. I got a hot take, though. Eddie Julian has this homestand for me, the rest of this series. I'm sending him back to St. Paul if he doesn't start swinging a bat. Just to make him fire, just to say, don't come back until you're willing to swing at a pitch. You can't just keep running.
I agree.
You can't just keep running him up there as your leadoff hitter.
Yep.
And, you know, when you had Lyman Bostock, Rod Carew, quite a bit leading off, guys like that. Hey, you say, they got on base, they did this. This guy, the photo of this guy leading off is turning around bitching at the umpire while he's walking back to the dugout.
Yep.
You can't be taking every pitch that's this far outside.
I agree completely.
Oh, he was right. It was a 18th of an inch off the strike zone. No. And now, if I'm an umpire and I've heard about him from my teammates around the league, which I probably have, I'm ringing his arse up every time I get a chance. If it's within a baseball of the strike zone, sit down. What is wrong? Somebody do something.
So they struck out 14 times Saturday. They struck out 15 times
Sunday,
on Friday.
29 times.
But here's my question. At what point in time do you say, you know what, the umpire's not very good, so we have no idea what to strike? So to what you're saying, you say, we're going to have to swing the bat.
Yes. But let's break down the lineup here, which we were all optimistic about.
Yes, we
Royce were. Lewis is gone, so 2 months.
Yep.
So let's forget that. Matt Waller did fine last year in August and September. But you look at his track record in the minor leagues, you know, he had some big seasons, but he strikes out a whole bunch. And there's a chance that they have now adjusted to him and he's going to struggle. He's going to be hitting 220 or something this year and strike out 150 times if you keep playing him.
Mm-hmm.
Kepler's back to where he was.
He's 1 for 20.
The legend has it, the manager wanted to dump him last year in the middle of the season, and now they brought him back. Obviously, did they bring him back because they thought what they saw last year for 10 weeks was him, or because nobody gives him anything?
That's my guess. I think Polanco and Kepler got a lot less potentially in return than they thought.
It looked like they probably had both of them on the market and said,
yes,
whoever we get a decent offer for first, we're going
to
move him.
But to your point, and you're right, the reason why they took the injured pitcher was because they had to. From Seattle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like that wasn't a Malley.
Now, you got Malley, and you got, the whole raft of...
Well, Paddock came in and he was hurt.
Paddock was hurt, yeah. Paddock made 5 starts and then missed 2 years. And other than Sam, people go back to Sam Dyson and guys like that. I think Sam Dyson got hurt because he pitched about twice and puked the bed. And they but this was not it. But the Twins brought it on themselves by saying he's our 5th starter.
Yes,
even though they never believed that.
No, you're right.
Because if they believed he was their 5th starter, they would have probably been auditioning Louis for the bullpen.
I think the word on Kepler is out. I think he's got some talent, but I don't.
He's a free agent, and if he was ripping it up, somebody might come. I thought maybe the Yankees, you could interest them in a left-handed pull hitter, but then they decided Juan Soto was better. So, yes. So I guess I'd go along with that decision.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, right. You got your choice between Kepler or Soto, but this lineup that we thought was going to be real good. I'll live to be another 20 minutes or 5 years or whatever. Why do they want Santana? He's 38 years old. Why did they do that? What was that? What was that about? It's first base. Kirilloff isn't, Herbie. He isn't great, but he's fine. He's fine at first base. It's not Miranda not knowing whether he should run right or left. He knows enough to go to the base, and he can scoop it. And what are they doing? Why did they do that?
I think they want to
get it. It's only $5.5 million. But, boy, they're sitting in a room, and you're listing the potential problems, and you say, we got to improve our defense at first base. Where's that on your priority list? 28th? It should be. I don't get it. I don't get it. Because he had a bad year last year. He was a little better when he got traded, but, he was awful. And he's, he walks a lot. Well, he hadn't walked yet, but Joey Gallo walked. When he didn't strike out, he walked. So
yeah.
I don't get what they did this. And more and more, I was pretty easy on him when they decided to cut back and not bring back Sonny and everything. But more and more, it's just stupid. It was just stupidity to publicly boast that you were going to cut the payroll $30 million. It was just stupidity. And I don't blame Falvey in that operation.
Right.
I blame
the
message Joe Pollad is sending out here. Does he think that's a good message?
Well, I think he thought transparency was best because the family hasn't always been transparent. But the problem, too, is this really a long-term problem where you couldn't sign one more pitcher?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, I watched the game Thursday. I hated everything I saw. Move slow.
Nobody
swung the bat. It was awful.
Yes.
It was as bad as the 3-hour-and-a-half games from 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yep.
So I'm going to sit down and write something Friday, and I said, out of hell with it. I'll just rip them for everything. And then it looked like a bit of an overreaction until they played Saturday, and they played the same game. you know?
Yeah.
So
I didn't go, but I watched a bunch from the hockey game, and it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys have figured out now. This is the thing. You knew they'd do this. I didn't think about it, but they have. They figured out how to work that damn clock. They figured out how to slow it down as much as they possibly can, even with the clock.
And now the Players Association is trying to blame the pitch clock for all the
The arm problems,
all the elbow problems and stuff. Well, it's throwing 94-mile-an-hour sliders and sweepers.
Correct.
And 88-mile-an-hour. It's torque in the elbow.
That's what it is.
It's the torque in the elbow that's doing it.
Pitching quick has never, like, how long, and we didn't need one, but, you know, in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s.
Jim Cott.
Get the ball, throw the ball.
Remember when Jim Cott revitalized, well, this is before your time, actually. The Twins let him go. He revitalized his career by throwing, this was after he had a bad elbow. He revitalized his career by pitching extremely fast as a starter.
Yeah.
And then again, it's really, he only lasted like 15 more years after that. So, I mean, there are any number of examples, but, the Players Association is extra miffed at the owners because of all the veterans that are out there without jobs.
Yes.
The Donovan Solanos of the world,
yes,
don't have jobs.
Yes.
And they got, the game is getting younger, which means cheaper. They're mad at that, so now they're going to blame this on the Players Association and on the owners for the pitch clock.
It's throwing as hard as possible. Here's the other study I would like to see. Every time we come up with a new pitch, what's the torque like? Like, yes, what are we asking the arm? Like, just throwing a fastball is not really natural?
I read something about, I don't know where it was, 3 months ago. One of those, I was looking up something. I guess I was looking up how are they defining the sweeper. And then I ran across 2-3 stories about how there's evidence being developed that it's hard on the elbow because you're making it break more. You're giving it a bigger twist, and it's not thrown as hard, but it's hard on the elbow.
Yeah.
And they're starting to have some, because you got to, having one kind of slider wasn't enough. You have to have two or four or whatever.
Well,
but every pitch is, I think, if we go to the computerized strike zone where you got to hit the line in that thing, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody will ever swing the bat. Nobody, they'll just sit there and wait. That's the big problem now is what can you do to, I was a big move the mound back 2 feet because you're throwing too hard guy, but no, that'll just cause more people not to swing.
Longer
right?
bats, yeah.
So,
well, how about a computerized strike zone that is bigger?
Yes. Yeah, that could be it. You know, let's make
just redefine it.
We made the bases bigger.
Yeah.
Let's make the plate a touch bigger, but then you'll still have the pitchers trying to hit this much.
Well,
the only solution is 3 balls, 2 strikes.
Ooh.
That's, that would be radical.
Yeah.
That could cost you some beer sales. Now, last year, remember that was the big concern that games were getting over too fast? And
oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I think we backed beer sales up through the 8th, right?
Yeah, yes.
Instead of through the 7th?
Going so fast, but you're right. I mean, Tampa, of course, was the one who started having their pitchers wait as long as they could to throw balls. You know, not all of them did. But
the Cleveland starter on Thursday.
Nah, Cleveland starter on Thursday.
That thing hit zero every
set. Yeah, one. He was going in the windup at 1 all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely drives me crazy. But nobody pays to go watch Edward Julian walk or take.
No
pitches. That's my problem.
Yeah, you got such a great eye, and he gets called out, and those weren't strikes. Well, yes, they were. They've been strikes for 150 years. If they're that close, they're strikes.
Well, yeah, and at some point in time, too, I mean, the guy on Saturday was terrible. But at what point do you just say, we're going to have to swing?
Yeah. Yeah.
He ain't changing.
No, and the box helped ruin the game. The box is, you know.
Did you see what baseball did?
What?
So on the iPads, up until this year, when you if you just hit and went back to look at your bat, the iPads had the box. Mm-hmm. Baseball took the box out on the iPads for players.
Really?
Because I think the umpires complained that players were bitching about, oh, that thing was outside the box.
Yeah, right. So it's from the dugout. Oh, right. I didn't see that.
I think Corey and Morneau were talking about this during the road trip. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so wow. they took the box off the iPad so they can't bitch about the fact that they saw it outside the box.
Yeah, well, I don't blame them. You know, what the... So they can still find location. They just don't know if it touched...
The box.
Yeah, but the whole idea that it's 3 inches off the plate and it's an egregious call by the umpire. My God. Go back to...
But who wants to... So here's my question for you. At the end of the day, who decided the best baseball was to slow it down as much as possible? Because that's what we're going back to now.
Yeah. Trying to.
You know, slow it down as much as possible. And it's the pace.
Mm-hmm.
Your work in counts. Like we just said, the pitchers are waiting until the clock almost hits zero.
Yeah. I a year ago, at this time, a week into the season, was declaring the pitch clock to be the greatest thing ever. But really, it hid the fact that the problem is hitters don't swing.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Guardians are now my favorite team. They'll go up there and dink it in. They like to put the bat in the ball, and if it goes 20 feet over the shortstop's head, they're happy. You know, do that 3 times and you got a run or two, you know. So they're the only team in baseball doing it, I think. I don't know.
Who would have thought that this conversation would have started because the home run had become one of baseball's biggest problems?
Yes, yes.
The most what in my childhood was probably the most exciting thing, right? Majestic home run.
Yeah, but the pitchers getting 3 hits to score a run is tougher than ever because you have every pitcher trying to not throw the ball over someplace where the guy's going to hit it soft, you know, or away, not hit it in the fat part of the bat. Instead of avoiding the fat part of the bat, they're trying to avoid the bat completely or not make the perfect pitch.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. It's more than any time in my life. Now the kids are playing. They're fine with kids playing, although the cross is catching up to them probably in some high schools, but I'm more worried about baseball's status in America than I ever have been. They've made it as unexciting as they possibly can.
Yes.
Now look back at 19. They set a world record for home runs. And they struck out like 1,300 and some times. They struck out 300 fewer times.
Yep.
250 fewer times than they did last year.
That's why I thought last year was so great.
Yeah. But they struck out 1,600 and some times last year and set the world record. Well, they were hitting home runs with 1,380 strikeouts. How do we get to 1,650? You know? What are they doing with their hitters? That now they don't have as good of hitters as they had then, but you know, that was a tolerable number of strikeouts, 1,300 and something. That's a lot, but that's how many a game. These guys, I'm sure there's some place that I could have gone to that could show me how many times they struck out 15 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't find it, so I went through all 162 box scores when I got home Thursday night from last year. 15 games that they struck out 15 or more. 3 of those, they got a couple of strikeouts and extra innings. But I screwed up because there was about 8 14s in there too. So, you know, there's the number of times they were in double figures. The number of times they weren't in double figures wasn't 10.
Well, you remember, in fact, you talked about this with us on Unchained on the earlier appearance last week. You remember that this team, we were calling for Popkin's head. Yeah. We hated this team until Royce Lewis arrived to change. So we're not coming off this feel good season in which, like, it got fun, but there was a lot of angst about this team.
We were having conversations in July saying this is the hardest team to like in Twins history.
Their approach at the plate basically sucks.
Yeah.
Now Royce changes things when he's healthy, but my God, poor guy's never healthy.
Yeah. And he's Ant with a much bigger brain, but he's Ant. You know, he's Ant on that team. He's got a personality.
Yes.
And if he strikes out, he's trying to do something. He's not taking strike three. He's striking out, taking a hack, which you don't mind. But I don't know. It's how long? What are we? 7 games in?
Yeah.
Right?
Are
they going to get rained out today or not?
I don't think so. I think they're going to get it in tonight.
They were talking about it. Good chance of rain again.
But, the problem there is they'd have to play a doubleheader at some point.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, because you don't have the Dodgers
The Dodgers aren't coming back here to play in.
I just love the fact the Dodgers are scheduled in April. What, 2 out of 3 years now? 2 out of 4 years?
They've been here twice. Under the new system, they've been here twice in April.
What are we doing?
They don't. I tell you, Billy and Betty, for 50 years made up the schedule, the American League schedule. Well, part of it is this dumbass playing everybody. They wanted to play everybody, have a series with everybody. So they added 4 or 5 road trips, basically, cities you had to go to. This is the stupidest thing ever. It was fine when you played the East 1 year, Central 1 year, West 1 year, and then that's the way they should have. But now they got this system. And last year, I don't know how it was nationally, but we, of course, had the drought. And baseball, I think nationally, it was a dry year. So, and I was saying when last year started, they're going to have all these. How many times are they going to have a team that's there the only time?
Right.
And they get rained out in the third game of the year. Detroit's already got to go back to someplace. They got rained out someplace. They got to go back to, I'm not sure where, but make a long trip back. I don't know. The Twins should say, when they get the schedule, they said, no. We refuse the schedule. We're not going to play with this schedule. We want the Dodgers from mid-May to Labor Day. Sometime.
Yeah.
Sometime.
But we also don't want... What's the home game count in April this year?
Well, 13. They had a few last year, too, but...
No, I know, but I mean, that's...
So dry.
That's the other thing.
But the other thing is the number of games in July, June, July, and August is much fewer than it was last year. So.
But I also want, in April, I want my division opponents, Cleveland.
Yeah,
call the game. Play a splitty in August. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, that's right. And I did not like the fact that you played every team in your division 19 times. But I also think there's a better solution. This Brewer thing might be the dumbest thing of all time.
The two gamer. There are
arch rival. There are interleague rivals. You're gonna play them twice. And what was wrong with the weekends? You go to Milwaukee for a weekend, they come to your place for a weekend.
It was explained to me once. I have no idea.
Well, it's numerical.
Yeah, but
they
I mean,
162, but.
Right, but just find a way to.
Yeah, have Milwaukee on a weekend. Who didn't go to Milwaukee on somebody? Everybody drove to Milwaukee.
Shorten up that Pirates series.
Huh?
I said, if you're supposed to play 3 against the Pirates and 2 against the Brewers, switch it.
Yes, that's true.
I can take not seeing the Pirates as much.
Or not at all.
Yeah,
except every third year. It's, I don't know. But they, I don't think they're right. When you go, so far, they've played, 8 games, right?
Seven, right?
Seven games.
They're 3-4.
And we've seen Lopez and Ryan pitch twice, so we haven't seen the back. We only saw the back end of the starting rotation once so far.
Yeah. Over got shelled.
But Over got shelled. Louis went, lasted four, and Paddock was threw a lot of pitches, but did he make it through five? He was
no.
No, he
four, was four and something.
So, I mean.
But that's an I told you so.
We haven't even seen their warts yet because they got a pitching staff that's everybody gets very mad at me. They say, well, according to the analytics, the Twins have the fifth best starting rotation in baseball. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is 2022 with Pablo. Pablo at the top. So you got a good, strong pitcher who, God willing, doesn't get hurt, although right. He did the 2 years before the Twins got him, missed some time.
And he throws a sweeper a lot.
He throws the, yeah, everybody, we're proudly adding the sweeper with a lot of pitchers, right? Yep. Didn't Paddock add the sweeper?
Oh, yeah, it's the rage.
Yeah.
It's still the rage.
Yeah, that's, hey, let's, he's had two Tommy Johns. Let's break out the sweeper here.
You remember the screwball? Because eventually we got rid of the screwball because.
We don't throw it. Yeah, it was
Because guys' arms were falling off.
Billy Campbell used to shake hands with you. It was like this, but that was, it was turned inside out.
Didn't Bobby Castillo teach Fernando how to throw it? I think that was Fernando's big pitch.
Yeah, it was. And it was, it's a changeup, but it goes the other way,
right.
Basically.
But it's terrible torque.
But Soupy was, he died, by the way, I think.
Yeah,
a few years ago.
Ago.
Great guy. Married to a St. Paul girl, but I don't think that lasted. But Soupy was through it 40% of the time. You know, he was torn, but he wasn't throwing it. He was throwing it 75.
Well, his arm gave out though, right?
Yeah, it did.
That's the thing is, this arm thing is not new. No, we just didn't used to have surgery for it.
Yes,
years
well,
ago.
He went to Boston as a free agent and had a great year, and then he got unhealthy with it. He was another one of those Twins that had that Burt's wonderful agent LaRue Harcourt stole all his money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was broke. He got the nice contract from Boston. I saw Dave Gultz at the game a couple days Thursday. I saw him walking through there, and he's doing okay. But he got LaRue Harcourt as an agent, and it's not good when you have a baseball agent who ends up in federal prison for stealing money. So
did he steal from Gultz from the Dodger deal?
Yes.
Oh.
But
that was a big contract back
Burt
then.
Burt lasted long enough to make no more money. You know,
right.
Make more money. But Burt, he was Burt's guy, and Burt introduced him to a lot of the younger pitchers, and they stole a lot of money. And he had enough to end up in federal prison.
That couldn't have endeared Burt to his teammates.
No, that could have, I know Gultzy was selling real estate or something up there, doing something in the Rossi area. And he looked good. You look back in Twins history, he's a pretty good pitcher.
Oh, Gultz, yeah.
Yeah, he was
Gultz
good.
Was the staff ace when I started watching
him. Well, he had to because after Burt got traded, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Jeff Zahn started an opening day. So, like, that tells you where the Twins of my youth were.
Yeah, Zahn, right when I first started, Zahn was in the rotation, and he had a couple pretty good years. I remember being in Yankee Stadium, and he's pitching against the Yankees, and Reggie's there. Zahn threw a big sloppy hook that he threw a lot of, and Reggie hits the deck like a sniper's trying to shoot him. And then pretends like he's going to charge the mound. It was a 73-mile-an-hour floppy curveball. And I'm in the group listening to Reggie in the Yankee clubhouse. And I'm smirking as he's talking about, they're throwing at my head. And I said, and he said, what are you, they yelled at me. And I said, that ball missed your head by a foot and a half, Reggie.
And if it had hit, it wouldn't hurt you.
He called me several foul names. So
How bad?
He might have. He might have referred to my girth. Also, I'm not sure.
I love the 70s.
Yeah, right. That's because you could.
Now you got to work real hard to get.
Yeah, they don't know.
Called
for, first of all, especially if you work for a newspaper, because they don't know who the hell you are anyway.
True.
You know, that's the amazing thing about Royce Lewis. He knows everybody.
Yep.
He knows where every, including the Purple Daily crew.
Yeah, he's a big fan. Stop Declan.
Yeah.
I saw it. He was actually more excited to meet Declan than Declan was to meet him. I've never seen him before.
It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
I just wish he could stay healthy. You also saw that Walker Jenkins got hurt on Friday night.
You're kidding me.
In Fort Myers.
What'd he do?
Hamstring, I guess. Reportedly a hamstring. He crashed into the wall making a catch in like the second, and he limped off, and I guess it's a hamstring.
Jeez.
And I didn't realize he had a quad in spring training.
Yeah, he was hurt for a while in spring training.
So, and I looked in the box
scores. Too many muscles.
He has not played. Yeah, like Ozzie said, can't pull fat.
Yeah, Ozzie, how good was that? Can't pull fat.
I love Ozzie.
Ozzie was right. 83 White Sox. No injuries.
Luzinski.
They were all.
Kittle.
Lamar, Dewey, Hoyt.
Oh, God, I love Lamar.
They had the fat pitchers, didn't they? Who was the.
Yeah,
who
they
was
did.
The lefty? The big tubby lefty. Who was that? They had a big fat lefty, too, didn't they? Yeah, they were.
Because Hoyt started the All-Star game here.
Yeah.
With, I think, the Padres by then.
Yeah, 83. That was when Luzinski was going to look for me in the dugout because I called them the Fat Sox, which took a lot of guts for me to do. But
well, he couldn't have called you fat.
I'd said they'd throw the World Series for a bag of Cheetos instead of a big bag of Cheetos, which I thought was kind of funny. But they apparently Luzinski didn't. But Luzinski was like on heavyweights on that team. He was like sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth or seventh, they had a bunch of big guys.
It's funny. You go back and look at pictures now. Those guys weren't nearly as fat as I thought. I remember thinking he was really extremely fat. Mm-hmm. Gorman Thomas was not as fat as I thought.
No, and I think when they went to the double-knit unis. They were wearing the double-knit unis that were awful.
It carried the gut?
Yeah, they kind of made everybody look chubby. Double knits were not good for us fat guys, you know.
Oh, and they looked miserable to wear.
Oh, God, they were not, they brought out every curve, you know.
Oh.
So, how about our new Wild goaltender? You and I have been calling for him for 2 months. Now he goes and gets a shutout against those high-flying Blackhawks.
They started him against the right team to get some confidence, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I saw Audra do a tweet about she's moving to the Twins, but she's still hoping for the playoffs.
Yeah, I saw that.
Audra, you're 10 points behind. I don't think you're going to make it. You know,
unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. These are not good. I mean, it's fine the goalie plays well, but these are not good victories. You want more. You want to finish. You now want to finish as low as you can, don't you?
Yes, but the Blackhawks are not going to allow you to beat them, and they'll make sure of that.
That's true. Are they? Are they? Where? One, two, or three? Something like that.
As far as the worst teams,
can you?
I think the Sharks
are
the worst.
Can you get the number one 2 years in a row in the NHL?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, I think they can get it again.
They don't have a rule like that.
No.
The NBA did something, didn't they? That trying to change that rule.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
But the Blackhawks could win the ping pong balls again.
I mean, and the Blackhawks will eventually be good, but they know how to tank. The worst teams are, let's see, Columbus has six. Oh, San Jose has 44 points.
Wow.
Chicago's at 51 at least.
I was, for some no unknown reason, I looked at the MLS standings because I wanted to see if these guys had lost since how they came out Saturday. You know, I guess they had a tie, but what are you going to call it? A draw, excuse me.
Yeah, draw.
They had a draw. The San Jose Earthquakes are 1-6. It's the worst team in the league, or 1-7. They got the worst soccer team and the worst hockey team. They're only two pro teams. They're the worst in both.
But they're going to have good draft picks.
Yes. Yes. I get a kick out of all these people that are upset, though, out there, speaking of the Bay Area, about the A's going to Sacramento.
Yes.
What do you want? What do you want them to do? Stay there and play with 1,800 people?
I guess the ballpark, though, that they're going to go play in is a dump.
Well, it's an old ballpark, yeah. They could do some, but you know where they should have went? Should have went to Fresno. They got a new ballpark, and they're low A. But they build a new ballpark for their AAA team and then Major League
Baseball. I thought Salt Lake was an
option. Yeah, that would be an option. That's a beautiful
ballpark. Seems like a great place to go play.
Yeah, it would be good to go there. And there, yeah, they got a great ballpark. I was out there with the late, great Joe Buzaz, the owner, who was a walking sexual harassment case. He was about 80, and he said something inappropriate to every woman we encountered as I walked around the ballpark with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was 20 years ago.
I was going to say, got away with it then.
20 years ago.
Now you wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's old enough to look harmless, you know.
Right.
He had to be in his 80s then, but he was unbelievable. But that's a great ballpark. Although, the way the ball carries there, and it's not huge, you could have some home runs.
Twins would love it.
Yeah, well, why don't they? Yeah, that would have been a spot to go. Get as far away from
this A's thing is so, it's just.
Yeah, well, the owner apparently is a complete idiot.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, hey, what's your favorite place to get a car, Patrick?
Here's the good news. Brett Paul, Jim Paul have the two dealerships, GM Products and Buicks, in Apple Valley and Hastings, but they're loaded with every option for vehicles now. The big old Yukons, the heavy-duty trucks, the Sierras and all those, they were hard to get during the pandemic and the aftermath of the pandemic. And they are now, they're fully stocked now with these vehicles. The interest rates, 0.9%, 1.9%. They're getting factory rebates. Jim Paul's telling me that it's as easy now to buy a car as it's ever been. And it's back to pre-COVID, pre-pandemic deals can be made, and they're fully stocked. They got 120 cars in a lot out in Apple Valley. Those are my guys. I've been buying cars there for over 10 years, and I think five or six different ones, and never been treated anything but 100%. They're great out there. Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM Dealers, Apple Valley and Hastings, check it out. Get back out in that car buying business.
I got some Twins breaking news for you.
What?
Right-handed reliever Daniel Durante has been placed on the injured list, and Jose Miranda has been recalled from St. Paul.
So they figure because of the schedule, they wanted to have another player, huh?
I guess so.
It sounds like they told Daniel he was on the injured list.
Yeah, right? It's a tricep strain, so they probably came up with something. Here's my question.
I think a pitcher, though, you got 15 days.
It's 15 days, yeah.
Yeah.
Why is Austin Martin here is my question.
Yeah, why aren't they playing him?
They won't play him.
I know.
And Willie Castro's playing like he's Brooks.
He's like
Brooks Robinson out there today.
When a left-hander's pitching, at least, why doesn't
And if you're Castro, not going to play him? Just put him back in St. Paul.
Yeah, right. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Why did, you know, when you got Julian, try him as a leadoff hitter. If you got Julian striking out every time and you got Waller and Kevin, you got to start holding these guys. I know it's only seven games, but,
what?
You know, Kepler's going to play like that.
Yeah.
Put Austin Martin in right field for a game or two.
Well, and yeah. Martin, it makes no sense to bring him up and not play him at all.
No.
Then don't bring him up. Like he's not a 35-year-old guy you signed from, played at Syracuse last year, and now you're just trying to have a body on the bench. That's what I don't
think. Okay, I got a question for you. Who would you rather have? Donnie Barrels, Solano, who got a lot of hits for him last year.
Yep.
Or Carlos Santana?
Well, from what I've seen from Santana through seven games, I'd rather have Barrels bat. Barrels bat.
Yeah, because he struck out 100 times in 450 at bats or something. He had 400 and some at bats.
He had a lot of big hits, it felt like.
Yeah, he did. He was, and it's a stupid nickname, but he does hit the ball.
Yep.
He's still out there looking for a job. He's one of those guys that they're that the owners or that the Players Association is mad at. So,
but why is Castro, now that Royce is out, why is Castro just by default playing every, it feels like he's just going to play all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he's meant to play all the time. No, I think he's meant to be a role player.
You know, I keep saying they got to hope that Willie Castro doesn't turn into Willie Castro that he was.
I mean, there is a reason why Detroit let him go.
Yeah, he was an okay player, an extra player. But yeah, Martin's, what is he? Started one game, right?
Has he?
He got here or did he? Did he just get in a game?
I think he just got in a game.
Maybe.
Let's see. He's got three at-bats. So, no, yeah. I think he's just gotten in.
Yeah, I don't. That surprised me, too. We should mention the hoops, should
we? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, great.
The
women's hoops was great. I should clarify.
Well, it was. I did not watch the second half because I had to go see the tax man yesterday. My tax man's so busy, I got to go see him on Sunday at 4 o'clock.
That sounds like an HBO show waiting to happen.
I taped it, and then I watched the first half, and I taped it. But Iowa didn't have a chance in that game. From even when Caitlin came out and was out of her mind and got 18 points in the first quarter, they bigger, stronger, deeper. You know, every rebound they got a 6'7" guy.
Yeah, Iowa couldn't match that. They needed the kid from last year you liked.
Yeah, Zanano.
The Hawkeyes kid.
And the kid who's the center now, Stuhlke, who's had a great game against UConn, but she was up against. Yeah. Equals in that game.
You weren't gonna.
I mean, South Carolina's athletes are and they got nine of them. They play nine, and Iowa would like to play five. Sometimes they get a couple of squat girls off the bench that play a little bit and try hard, but they were no match for that team. But they did beat UConn in a great game. And by the way. That was as illegal as a screen gets. It was brutal.
Oh, the shuffle.
The one that.
The UConn.
Worst call I've ever seen. It is interesting. It proves that anybody can be ripped on Twitter and other social media, right? Because there's people out that don't like Caitlin.
Well, yeah. Well, and Scott Van Pelt went on after the game and ripped the officials up and down and then apologized the next day.
Yeah, because he saw it. He looked at it again.
The other angle shows how much she moves.
Oh, yeah. Well,
They didn't show that. And I don't know
whose
why.
Whose fault it was? Paige's. Paige did not run tight enough to the original screen.
Yep, she was.
She had to hop over and.
Yep.
But it was. It was Randall McDaniel blocking a pass rusher.
And where was the rules expert?
Yeah.
They had one. They never went to the rules expert.
Yeah, why didn't they go to – who was it? Wasn't Serratore. He only does men or something?
Yeah, no. And he's CBS.
I'm sure they got a woman.
But they did have a person on.
They didn't call her?
But they didn't call the person. And they didn't show – they showed like two replays, and there were like four of them.
Yeah, right. I didn't – I looked at it, and I thought – my original reaction was Gabby Marshall called that one, you know, the Iowa player.
Yeah.
When she got it. But then people slowed it down and you saw it, it was flagrant and said, no, that's never called the men's game. LeBron would have been called for an illegal screen in that same situation. That was,
People didn't like the timing of it.
No, they
that's
didn't.
That's all it came down to.
But here, what if you let them shoot a layup and win a game?
Yep.
You know? What if it's the other way around? They're getting ripped for not. How? This is the worst screen I've ever seen. How did they not call that screen? You know?
Yes.
Just depend upon who you were rooting for.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
But we get very offended by timing of calls.
Yes.
You can't call it then, but you could have called in the first half and no one would have blinked.
Yes, but in the last 10 seconds, let the players decide the game. They did. They did decide the game. She jumped out and blocked a person. They did decide the game.
Why does anyone want to be an official is my question.
Do the players settle? Do the players determine the outcome of the game if you don't call a illegal screen and she goes in and they win the game? Yeah.
Right. No,
yeah,
I don't.
I mean,
it's like hockey. Yeah. Overtime. You can't call anything.
No.
So I just two-handed slashed a guy.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
Now he's rolling around the ice, but I can't call that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's questionable, yeah, okay, but it wasn't questionable. And the immediate reaction I saw on Twitter was, worst call I've ever
but
seen.
But you're right about Paige.
Yeah.
That's Paige, exactly
she
right.
She did not, you know, she...
She forced the girl to go out to shuffle.
Yeah, she was just... She was not running off the screen. Yep. I'm sure she was in a hurry, you know, because they didn't have much time
left. That was a fun tournament, though.
Yeah, when you got to a certain point, when you got to the quarterfinals. Before
right,
the,
yeah, no,
before
I'm saying.
Before that, it's a mismatch.
The Final Four was fun.
Yeah, oh, the Final Four was great, yeah. But, again, I didn't see the whole – I watched a little bit of the second half when I got home, but when I got in the car and found out they lost by 12, I said, man, that's about right. Mm-hmm. In fact, I tweeted on Friday, blah, 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 great game, but they're going to lose by 12-15 on Sunday.
So you again.
Yes.
Women's basketball expert.
I am a women's
basketball. You found Caitlin Clark.
I did. She was something. Were you watching it from the start?
Yeah, I watched the whole game.
She was something in the first quarter.
Oh, she was great. You could tell she wasn't going to lose for a while there.
Yeah.
When South Carolina started to hit threes in the second half is when it was done.
Yeah,
because if they could hit threes, then you can't do
they
anything.
They really couldn't go out and guard them because they had to
stay
try
inside.
To get a rebound.
Yes.
I mean, so I think South Carolina has lost the year that they wanted here. 2 years ago, I think they only lost once. And I'm not sure when it was. I think they lost.
I love Staley.
I think they lost one game in 3 years.
Dawn's great.
I am too. She's a marketeer with an edge.
Great edge though.
Yeah, she does. Oh yeah,
she's good at it.
I loved her here when she came out for the fun. Gino's there, and is you know, there's never anybody look more out of place than Gino when Dawn's out there in her. Whatever that velveteer outfit she was wearing.
Yes.
She looks like 2030, and Gino looks like an old guy. But Gino, I was disappointed in Gino that he tried to, you know, I guess he had to defend his player. He couldn't come out and said, it was an illegal screen. But he knew it was an illegal screen.
Paige was perfect, though.
Yeah.
She said, can't come down to that play. She's exactly right.
Yeah. And Clark was great after the game too. You know, South Carolina is so good, and then she said, "Hey, people are going to remember the Final Fours and stuff, but what they're really going to remember is when their 7-year-old kids are 25 and they're still talking about going to Carver Hawkeye and going to the regional and stuff like that. I mean, it's a phenomenon because as I pointed out." When I went down there in February of 2022, so she's a sophomore, they played the Gophers and it was half full. It was like, and they were very happy. Look at this crowd. Wow. You know, it was maybe 8,000,
right.
Something like that.
Right.
And now it's, I mean, this is a phenomenon of our sports generations. This is Fernando mania.
That's what I was going to say. I saw a tweet that was, it's a stretch, but it might not be, that compared for the women's game in college, compared this to 79 with Bird and Magic
Bird
as
Magic.
Far as the the amount of people that you draw
in. But let me say this. It won't have the same long-term effect. It's going to.
No, it won't.
Because, and I don't think the NCAA, they're going to get criticized, but I don't think you can go to neutral courts in the first and second round for women's basketball. You'll have nobody at the games, you know, really, for a lot of them.
Yep.
You know, because they finally did for the men when? In the mid-90s? Did they start going, or even before?
I think it was before then.
But
I think it was before
that. UCLA, when they were winning all the national titles, never left Pauley Pavilion until they got to the finals.
Yeah.
And mostly, and, you know, the men had played it at home sites until whenever it was.
My question is this. What does this do now for the NBA?
I think it helps it a lot. I do.
Because the 79 game actually, I think, propped. I mean,
yes.
If you recall, pro basketball was a mess before those two came in.
Oh, yeah, it was pro basketball. But also, when you look at the 80s in the men's college basketball. That is a you know, a golden era of you know, you had,
well, the Big East was,
you had Knight winning in 81. What was it? 80 was
Louisville and
then but that whole decade, I mean, I covered 8 or 9 in a row, and they were all great, you know. They were all, I mean, it was, could be, you had, you know, 40 minutes of hell with no
one. And Knight
won
again, was that 86 when Smart hit the shot against Jim Boeheim in Syracuse?
Yeah. I couldn't remember Jimmy Chitwood's name. I called up Such and said, I'm a deadline. I called Such at home and said, ask Andy what the name, because Andy, his son, was a basketball nut. What was the name of the kid? Because the guy next to me couldn't remember either. That hit the shot, the Hoosiers, because that was the year of Hoosiers.
Wow.
The movie. Who made the shot? Who made the shot? I'm on deadline. And Jimmy Chitwood. Thank you. Yeah. So.
Hey, so how close did we come to getting the Albertville kid?
I don't think we came very close.
I don't. We didn't come.
You got Dawn coming into town and saying, you want to come down and.
She was incredible.
If Tessa went to see the Final Four here when they took Connecticut apart, she says, by then I think she'd probably already, no, she hadn't committed yet, I don't think. But because she committed, but before her senior year, I think she committed. But if she went and watched that performance by South Carolina, and then she gets a call from Dawn, she's saying, yes, you know.
It is remarkable, though, the amount of talent in men's and women's basketball that has escaped.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, when you look
girls, women, have always, I think they want to get away more than men do. You know, they're the ones that, mom and dad are always worried about where they're going and said, well, you don't care what your son's doing. What do you care?
Yeah.
You know, but the other thing is they're smarter. The women basketball players way smarter than men's basketball players.
Yep.
So if Stanford comes calling, that means something. If Stanford's recruiting a women's athlete.
Yep.
They look at the academic standards. You know, if they're recruiting a man, he looks at what the standings were the year before, right?
Right.
They care about being a great academic institutions. And but with this Tessa, you go to that Final Four and watch them take apart UConn and the way they played. I mean, that Henderson girl, an 8-page lunch. 5'4", feistier than hell. You say, I want to be part of that, you know?
Yeah.
So you can't keep them. Or you can go to the barn, sit in this godforsaken empty mausoleum with 2,100 other people.
Yep.
And stay home for the glory of the Gophers. If the Gophers women were smart, they'd still be playing next door.
Oh, at the pavilion?
Yes.
How about Tessa? We'll give you a high rise penthouse.
Yeah, right.
500,000 starting point and a car.
Well, yeah, but you know what?
A nice car.
We'd still get 3,000 people for the game. But that we're the runners up of the prestigious WNIT, I bet they put up a banner for being runner.
The game no one wanted.
Yeah, right. They ended up playing in Edwardsville, Illinois. Well,
lucky they weren't outside on driveway.
This Maya battle is interesting, though. She gets 29 and then she gets 0. Anyway. But the fact that I pointed out that, you know, there were 100 teams selected by the NCAA and then the NIT, which charges you to play in their tournament. People, what's your point? Well, the point is we're either going to be 101 or 102, you know.
102.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you next week, Pat. Ya.